Chapter 13. The Pacific Coast and Islands. Hawaiian rainbows, white clouds roll by. You show your colors against the sky. Hawaiian rainbows, it seems to me, reach from the mountains down to the sea. From Hawaiian Rainbows, a Hawaiian folk song. Lesson 1. Focus. Why are there such great differences along the same coast? Main idea. As you read, look for ways in which places along the Pacific coast of the United States are alike and ways in which they are different. Vocabulary. Fjord. Earthquake. Hunters and gatherers. Aluminum. Ecosystem. Along the Pacific coast. All coastal lands touch the sea, but the climates and landforms along a coast can be very different from place to place. Where people choose to live and how they use the land can be different too. A varied landscape. The Pacific coast of the United States stretches north from Mexico to Canada. It borders the states of California, Oregon, and Washington. Farther north, it borders Alaska. The island state of Hawaii lies about 2,400 miles, 3,862 kilometers, off the Pacific coast. Because these five states border the Pacific Ocean, they are sometimes called the Pacific States. The Pacific coast covers a great distance, so the climate and landforms along it are very different. The southern coast of Alaska is cold and wet for much of the year. In Kodiak, a small town on an island off the coast, the average July temperature is just 50 degrees Fahrenheit, 10 degrees Celsius. This cold air is also very wet. Many places in Alaska receive as much as 100 inches, 254 centimeters of precipitation a year. Alaska's southern coast has many bays and inlets. High cliffs jut out into the Pacific Ocean, forming fjords. A fjord is a narrow inlet of the ocean between cliffs. Steep mountains go right down to the shore. These mountains are part of the Alaska Range. Mount McKinley, North America's highest mountain, is part of this range. The Alaska Range and the other mountain ranges in Alaska are shown on the map on page 423. The city of San Diego, California, lies more than 2,000 miles, 3,219 kilometers, south of Kodiak. San Diego is warm and dry. The average July temperature is 70 degrees Fahrenheit, 21 degrees Celsius. Winter temperatures do not often fall below freezing. Rainfall averages about 10 inches, 25 centimeters a year. San Diego is built on a large natural harbor. Most of Southern California, however, has a smooth coastline. Los Angeles, the largest city and busiest port on the Pacific coast of the United States, lies about 120 miles, 193 kilometers, north of San Diego. Los Angeles has no natural harbor. Instead, workers made a harbor by piling up huge stone blocks to form an ocean wall 9 miles, 14 kilometers long. Behind this wall, ships can dock in calm waters. Near the coast of Southern California are the Coast Ranges. Few trees grow on these mountains because the climate is too dry. Farther inland is the Mojave Desert. In the Mojave is Death Valley, a place American Indians called Ground on Fire. Death Valley is one of the hottest and driest places in the United States. In fact, the longest time without rain ever recorded in the United States, 760 days, was in Death Valley. At 282 feet, 86 meters below sea level, Death Valley is also the lowest point in the Western Hemisphere. Review. How do climates differ along the Pacific coast? A shaky land. The land and climate along the southern coast of California are very different from those farther north. Yet, all places along the Pacific coast share a danger: earthquakes. An earthquake is a sudden shaking of the ground. Earthquakes are caused by the movement and cracking of layers of rock deep inside the earth. Each year, many small earthquakes shake the Pacific coast. Often, people do not even feel them. Large earthquakes, however, can cause major damage. The shaking of the ground can cause buildings, bridges, and homes to fall down. In recent years, major earthquakes have shaken several California cities, including San Francisco and Los Angeles. Buildings there are built to help protect against earthquakes, but damage still happens. A woman who lived in a second-floor apartment recalled the earthquake that shook Southern California in 1994. First, she heard a loud crack. Then the dining area of her apartment moved downward. "I felt a sensation of falling," she said, "but until I actually saw what was on the outside, I really was not aware that it had totally crushed the first floor." Review. What danger do places along the Pacific coast share? Where people live. People have lived along the Pacific coast for thousands of years. When Spanish explorers first sailed along the California coast in 1542, the land there was already densely populated by different groups of American Indians. Few people, however, lived in Alaska. This pattern of settlement continues today. California has more people than any other state. Alaska, which is far bigger in area, has few people. In fact, only Wyoming and Vermont have fewer people. As in most areas, population along the Pacific coast is not spread out evenly. Some places have many more people than other places. More than 15 million people live in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. The whole state of Alaska, on the other hand, has only about 600,000 people. Many people who live in Alaska like it because it is not crowded. One Alaskan gold miner was upset when just 40 people moved into his area to drill for oil. "I'll be pulling out any day now," he is reported to have said. "Too many people around here." Review. How is the population of California different from the population of Alaska? Fish, trees, and factories. On a spring day more than 500 years ago, a Chinook Indian cast a net into a mighty river and caught a large king salmon. He carried the fish back to his village, and the people gathered around to roast it. The Chinooks lived in the Pacific Northwest, where the Columbia River meets the Pacific Ocean. That area is now part of the states of Washington and Oregon. As you know, ocean winds bring heavy rains to these states. Forests grow tall and thick. The Chinooks did not farm the wet mountain land around them. Instead, they were hunters and gatherers. Hunters and gatherers are people who meet their food needs by hunting animals and gathering plants instead of by farming. In the forests, the rivers, and the ocean, the Chinooks found everything they needed. Today, many people who live along the Pacific coast still use the rivers, the forests, and the ocean to earn their living. Fishing is an important industry up and down the coast. Alaska leads all the other states in the amount of fish caught. In parts of Alaska, nearly everyone depends on the fishing industry in some way. In other places, lumbering is more important. Fish also swim in Puget Sound, a large inlet in northwestern Washington. Seattle, the state's largest city, lies on Puget Sound. Yet few workers there earn their living from fishing. Instead, most workers have jobs in other industries. Like many other cities near the Pacific Northwest coast, Seattle began as a port for shipping lumber. Today, Seattle still ships large amounts of wood products. Workers at sawmills cut logs from nearby forests into lumber. Other workers use the wood to make furniture, paper, and other wood products. Computer software, ships, and airplanes are also made in Seattle. In fact, many people around the world fly in airplanes made in and near Seattle. Aluminum is manufactured in Seattle, too. Aluminum is a metal used to make things that need to be strong and light, like airplane parts. Review. What are some leading products manufactured in and near Seattle? Hydroelectric power. Factories in the Pacific Northwest use huge amounts of electricity. That electricity is produced by dams built across the Columbia River and its tributaries. The largest dam is the Grand Coulee Dam. It makes more electricity than any other dam in the United States. Dams produce low-cost electricity, but every dam that is built also affects a river's ecosystem. An ecosystem is the relationship between living things and their non-living environment. When a dam is built across a river, the reservoir behind it floods the land. The dam also affects the ecosystem downstream. The dam allows only so much water to flow through the river's channel. It can also threaten the fish that live in the river. Pacific salmon are a good example. Pacific salmon live mostly in salt water, except at birth and death. Salmon hatch in a freshwater lake or river. Then, as young fish, they swim downstream to the sea. When the salmon reach adulthood, they return to the place where they were born to spawn or lay their eggs. Salmon sometimes swim hundreds of miles upstream just to reach that spot. Often they must jump shallow rapids or low waterfalls along the way. Millions of Pacific salmon once followed the Columbia River upstream to spawn. One early settler wrote, "So thick were they that often, in riding a horse across at the ford, I have been compelled to get off and drive them away before my horse would go across." Then came the dams. Not even the biggest salmon could leap them. The number of salmon in the river went down sharply. To help the salmon get past the many dams on the river, people built fish ladders. A fish ladder is a group of pools of water set up like stair steps. Fish can either jump over the walls that separate the pools, or they can swim through openings in the walls. Using a fish ladder, the fish can go higher and higher until they reach the reservoir behind a dam. Fish ladders help salmon get past many dams, but some dams, like the Grand Coulee, are much too tall for fish ladders. In those areas, salmon that have been raised in tanks are put into the rivers. Review. Where does the electricity used in the sawmills and factories in the Pacific Northwest come from? The leader in manufacturing. Hydroelectric power has helped turn many cities in the Pacific Northwest into manufacturing centers. The country's leading manufacturing state, however, is California. Its cities are crowded with factories that make many kinds of products, from computers to airplanes to movies. Hollywood, a part of Los Angeles, is the movie capital of the world. Like the other Pacific states, California is rich in natural resources. Both petroleum and natural gas are found along the state's southern coast. Borax, a mineral used to make such products as laundry soap and glass, is mined in its desert areas. Review. Which state leads the country in manufacturing? Lesson 1 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. Why are earthquakes dangerous? 2. Recall the main idea. How are places along the Pacific coast of the United States alike, and how are they different? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. Why do you think more people choose to live in California than in Alaska? Show what you know. Art activity. Draw a picture of a place along the Pacific coast. Draw a second picture to show how another place along the coast is different. Critical thinking skills. Make a generalization. 1. Why learn this skill? Have you ever heard someone start a sentence with the words, "In general, I think"? The term "in general" means true in most cases. It often begins a generalization. A generalization is a statement that summarizes a group of facts and shows the relationships between them. A generalization tells what is true most of the time, but it may not always be true. It may contain words such as often, many, most, generally, or usually. Maps can help you make generalizations about places. Maps give you a general picture of a place. They tell you such things as where most cities are located and where most people live. 2. Settlement patterns. As you know, population along the Pacific coast is not spread out evenly. As in other regions of the United States, some places along the Pacific coast have many crowded cities and are densely populated. Other places, however, are mostly rural areas. In Southern California, much of the state's population is in two large population centers, San Diego and Los Angeles. So many towns and cities surround Los Angeles that it is hard to tell where one town ends and another one begins. Los Angeles is our country's second largest metropolitan area. Why have so many people come to live in the Los Angeles area? Many have come for its pleasant sunny climate and beautiful beaches. Others have come for jobs in its many businesses and factories. In Northern California, most people live in one of the large cities built on the rolling hills around or near San Francisco Bay. These cities include San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. San Francisco is one of the country's busiest ports. Besides being an important business center, the San Francisco area draws thousands of tourists each year. As in California, the population in the Pacific Northwest is centered around large cities. In Oregon, many people live in Portland or in one of the other cities along the Willamette River. In the state of Washington, most people live in Seattle and other cities along Puget Sound. 3. Understand the process. Study the population map on this page. It shows settlement patterns in the states of California, Oregon, and Washington. By studying this map, you can make some generalizations about where most of the people in California, Oregon, and Washington live. 1. Look at the map's key. What is the highest population density shown on the map? What is the lowest population density shown on the map? 2. Now look at the main part of the map. Where is the population density generally the greatest in all three states? From that observation, you can state a generalization. Most people in the states of California, Oregon, and Washington live in or near large cities. 3. Look at the map again. Is the population density generally greater in the eastern or the western part of each state? 4. Think about the geography of California and the Pacific Northwest. What large body of water borders all three states on the west? What generalization can you make about the population density near the coast as compared with the population density farther inland? Why do you think that is so? 5. By looking at the map, what other generalizations can you make about settlement patterns in the three states? 4. Think and apply. Compare the population map on this page with the population density map of the United States on page A14. What generalizations can you make about settlement patterns in the United States? How do they compare with the settlement patterns in California, Oregon, and Washington? Lesson 2. Learn Culture Through Literature. Anna's Athabascan Summer by Arnold Gries. Illustrated by Charles Reagans. The Athabascan Indians have lived along the Yukon River in Alaska for generations. In recent years, though, their life has changed a lot. Today they live in modern houses and their children go to school just as you do. Yet they keep many of their traditions alive. Each summer they fish for salmon in the river and gather berries along its banks. Read now about a girl named Anna who travels with her family to their fish camp on the river. As you read, think about how life has stayed the same for Anna's family and how it has changed. My world of winter is a world of snow and of cold and of darkness. It is a beautiful time, but for me it is a time of waiting. Waiting for the sun to warm the earth and to bring life again to our frozen land. Then come warm days, pussy willows, melting snows, and the sound of birds. All this and the breakup of the ice on the river tell me spring has come again. The days go by quickly now like the shadow of a soaring hawk. Soon school will be out. One day, Father takes Mother, Grandmother, Pup, and me in his boat to our summer fish camp. Mother says our people, the Athabascan Indians, have always come to this place in the summer. Here fish swim close to the shore, big berries grow on the hillside, and soft winds off the water blow the mosquitoes away. When the boat touches the beach, I jump out and climb the hill, then sit resting. A fox runs past, carrying food to its family. Far away, the mountain we call Denali stands tall in the clean air. In front of me, the river flows forever. Mother's call stops my dreaming, and I hurry back to the beach. The open door, curling smoke from the stovepipe, and the rattle of pans are all signs. Work is waiting. But today, I want to play. Then I remember, Mother is going to have a baby. I smile and go inside. In the busy days that follow, many things are done. Mother and I clean the house. We put food from town in the cache where animals cannot get it. Grandmother lays out a moose hide to be worked on. After going back to town to get the dogs, Father moves the fish wheel out into the fast current. Water gurgles as it pushes against the paddles that turn the wheel. The wheel groans and creaks as it moves. Soon the first swimming salmon will be scooped up on one of the baskets and dropped into the fish box. Then the hard work I do not like starts. The fish must be cleaned. Now empty drying racks stand waiting. Father's dogs are tied close by to keep bears away. Everything is ready. It is time for Father to leave. His hand rumples my hair as we walk to the boat. He and my older brother both have jobs in town. Grandmother is scraping the moose hide as I walk toward the house. I see that now it is hard for her to do the work she loves. Mother calls from the smokehouse, and I go to her. There is not much work to do today, she says. Take Grandmother to the place she loves and sit with her. Grandmother and I go. While we sit looking down on our summer home, two ravens call to each other as they tumble through the air. Grandmother looks up and says, Old Grandfather, bring us luck. Why do you say that, Grandmother? She answers, Our people say that Raven made the world, that even though he plays tricks, he can bring luck. The sun warms me as I watch the ravens. What luck will they bring? I ask myself. Late that same night, while the midnight sun is low in the sky, I watch as the fish wheel scoops up the first summer salmon. It flops down into the waiting box. There, the salmon's strong tail pounds against the sides. Long ago, our people would hold a feast for the first salmon. It meant more were coming. These salmon would supply food for the long winter to come. Soon after, our fish box fills. Grandmother rests while she watches us clean fish during these long days of summer. While I work, there is time to think. I hope the baby growing inside Mother is a girl. I could show a little sister the things I am learning from Mother. One day, I ask Mother, Grandmother says we must show respect for all living things. Then, why do we catch and kill the salmon? Mother brushes hair from her face and answers, Our people believe living things die gladly for us, but we must show respect by killing only what we need and by returning to the river fish bones and other things we cannot eat. After many days of hard work, the fish wheel brings us fewer salmon. Now Grandmother and I can walk to the hillside where big blueberries wait to be picked. The sun warms our backs as we kneel and pull the berries into our buckets. Grandmother watches as some of the berries find their way into my mouth. The quiet is broken as we laugh. It is good to hear Grandmother laugh the way she used to. Once, while we are picking blueberries, Grandmother puts her hand on my shoulder. I look up, and her eyes tell me not to move. She whispers, A bear eats berries and does not see us. Grandmother's hand stays on my shoulder as we crawl back slowly. Today, the berries belong to the bear. Early one morning, rain falling on the tin roof wakes me. Low gray clouds fill the sky. The air is chilly. I snuggle back under the covers. After a while, I go to walk in the rain. Ripe red cranberries hang on the bushes along the bank. Their sweet smell fills the air. Now, as Grandmother and I pick cranberries, the sky is deep blue. The air smells different, and the days grow shorter. The nights are dark again. Summer is ending. Not many mornings later, it comes, the cry of geese. I leave my warm bed and stand outside the door. In the sky, long lines of geese call to each other as they fly to warmer places. The pebbles are cold under my bare feet as I walk to the beach. A spruce hen flies up. The leaves on the birch tree where it lands have turned golden. That night, while Mother packs, I walk with Grandmother along the water in the soft light of a full moon. The warm glow from Mother's lamp shines through the window. It brings a special stillness. The soft sound of an owl's call floats through the air. We go inside, and I ask Grandmother, Why does summer have to end? She answers, Summer will come again, as it always has, since our people have lived by this river and fished on its banks. She stops, then adds, Nothing ends. Someday I will leave you, but that is not the end. I will always be a part of your life. I walk over and give her a hard hug. She holds me close for a long time. The next morning, the sound of a motor from across the river reaches my ears. This time, Father will take us home. Summer is over. It does not take long to load our things.
Bundled in my warm jacket, I take one last look at our summer home, but the sadness leaves me as I hold Grandmother tight. When summer comes again, we will come back and bring someone new, someone I can teach about the ways of our people. Literature Review 1. How has life stayed the same for Anna's family, and how has it changed? 2. In the story, Grandmother teaches Anna about their family's beliefs and traditions. What kinds of things have you learned from members of your family? 3. Think about something that has changed in your life. Write a story about that change.